Hey, family, welcome back to Unfiltered Faith Beyond the Church Walls. I'm your host, Evelyn Ello, Outreach Ministry Leader. We're in a 10-week study on the six foundational truths from Hebrews 6, and I'm here again with my two powerhouse co-hosts, Crystal and Amy.
Hey, y'all. I'm so excited to be back for week two. This foundation study is really stretching me in all the best ways, so buckle up for this one.
Yes, it is about to get real. We are not holding anything back. We are feeling convicted, and we're going to share. So please remember that thou shalt not judge.
I hear you, Amy. If you missed the in-person Bible study Tuesday night, don't worry. This is your weekly recap. And if you were there, this is your bonus dose. We're in a 10-week study on the six foundational truths from Hebrews 6. And this week, we tackled a heavy hitter, repentance from dead works. This one digs deeper than sin. It's about the heart behind what we do and who we are doing it for. Let's define it. Dead works aren't just sinful actions. They're anything to do with our own strength to try and earn God's love, forgiveness, or approval. Even good things, when done without faith, without surrender, can become burdens, not blessings. We read Hebrews 6:1 and Acts 3:19 and Romans 2:4. Repentance isn't just turning away from sin, it's turning to God in a full surrender.
Yes, and it's that part right there, turning to God.
Right.
It's not just a behavior change, it's a total heart posture change. So I can stop doing something that's wrong or bad for me and still be prideful, bitter, and self-righteous.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I think a lot of people, and I definitely repent like it's a checklist, but real repentance is kind of about like owning your mistakes,
yes,
feeling broken over sin, and then letting Jesus be Lord, not just Savior, which I talked about Romans 10, verse 9, because John MacArthur teaches, God rest his soul, about Jesus being the Lord over your life.
Yeah.
And so 10 verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So how many times do we gloss over, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord? And so he says that we should not only confess Jesus is Lord, but like live like it, right? In obedience to his commands, and just kind of strive to glorify God in all aspects of our lives.
Right.
And doing this requires humility. And we talked about yesterday how humility and repentance go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Because we have to figure out that God is God and we are us and put him in his rightful place. That repentance reminds us of our sinful condition. And so it helps us to put God where he should be, which is in charge of
control
and absolute submission. And I can't do that when I'm full of pride and
that's true.
All
right, let's get real. I have some questions and I want us to go there. People listening need to hear us talk real talk about our everyday experiences and about basically what our takeaways have been from our Bible study. So the first question I have for you all is, what was your biggest takeaway from Tuesday's Bible study?
I think for me, it's a couple things. One of them was, you can't have true faith without without repentance. So, you know, you have, we talked about the first foundation, which is repentance from dead works.
Mm-hmm.
The second foundation is faith toward God. So you can't build on that faith without having that base foundation, which is repentance.
Turn away.
And another thing that was said that I really loved was that, repentance basically allows for deeper fellowship with God.
Yeah.
Right.
Intimacy.
Yeah. And he talks about 2 Corinthians 7:11, which says, for observe this very thing that you sorrowed in a godly manner, what diligence it produced in you, what clearing of yourselves, what indignation. And John Bevere did a great job like breaking down that particular scripture. And I loved it. He talks about like diligence is your urgency, right?
Mm-hmm.
Clearing of yourself is basically your desire to enjoy authentic fellowship with God. And then indignation is to hate what God hates.
Yeah.
So when you repent, you hate what God hates. So you see God for who he is and you understand him. So therefore it gives you like a deeper relationship, more understanding. And I love that.
Yeah. Right. And he used the example of, you know, if he does something and it hurts his wife in some right. way, he goes and apologizes to her and it restores the fellowship.
Correct.
Which right. is, you know, the same thing that we're doing. Restoring right, exactly. fellowship with God.
Right. And if you value that relationship that you have or that fellowship with the Lord, you don't want to be hurtful or right. grieve the Holy Spirit. You want to do what's right. Right.
Yeah, definitely.
And another thing was basically, if you have a life of no repentance that says that I am choosing what is best for me and myself versus if you have repentance, then you're saying that I choose what God says is best for my life.
Yeah.
I thought that was really powerful.
That was definitely very powerful.
Right.
Right. My biggest takeaway last night was dead works aren't always blatant sin.
Oh yeah. That's true.
So, they're subtle, they can be subtle, they can be sneaky, even mm-hmm. good things done from a place of fear or performance or insecurity instead of love and surrender. That's what really hit me because I've done that. So I not intentional, right? But I just, you know, just serve just to be a good, quote unquote, good person, and being a good person's not going to get us
right
in the presence of the Lord at the end of our life. So obedience without intimacy is still emptiness.
Yeah,
no matter how it's like.
And my takeaway was the example in Acts 2:37
yes.
and Acts 7:54. So Acts 2:37, the crowd was convicted,
yeah,
and they cut to the heart, and they responded with humility and a desire to change. The verse was, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and Peter said to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? So that question showed openness, readiness, and it led to the birth of the early church where 3,000 were baptized. And then in Acts 7:54, it said, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed at him with their teeth. So Stephen was confronting the religious leaders in this one with their history of rejecting God's messengers, which we know was true. They were cut to the heart, but instead of repenting, they became enraged, and their response was violence, defense. They covered their ears and they stoned Stephen. So this same truth softened the hearts in Acts 2 and hardened hearts in Acts 7. So just think about the impact of in your own life when you, you know, you follow that conviction and you repent right. and you change it. And how often we kind of gloss over it and ignore right. it, but look at the consequences of it in right. these passages and how important it is in our own lives.
That's so good.
Yeah.
That's so good. Okay. So have you found yourself doing quote unquote Christian things with the wrong heart or trying to earn God's approval? Question 2.
So I have definitely, in past serving, I served and I felt like I had to because, you know, that's part of being a good Christian.
Right.
And I feel like God didn't bless my efforts. It was always really stressful.
Yeah.
Seemed like it wasn't very fruitful. And we talked yesterday about Matthew 3:8, which says that therefore produce fruit that is consistent with repentance. So you're not going to produce any fruit without repentance.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
That's true. That's good. And so I have, so for me, you know, I've been serving in and out of ministries for many years now, obviously. And so when I served in ministry in the past, in my past seasons, I was busy serving, pouring out, but was spiritually dry sometimes and yeah. working for God instead of with him. And that's what I spoke with about that. And then I just wasn't resting in his love, which is what I'm trying to do now. So for me, that was my takeaways, like just slow down and just rest in his presence, right? You're doing kingdom work, but are you doing it with him
right.
rather than for him?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, we're doing it. I want to do life and be intimate with the Lord.
Yeah.
You know?
Do both.
To do both. Exactly. Do his works.
Be a Mary and a Martha world.
There you go.
Say, right?
Yes.
Right. Anybody else have anything on that question? Or we move on to the next?
I know. I think for me, it's... it was tithing. So like for myself, when I first started tithing, it was just to, you know, check off a check mark. Oh, I tithed. So I'm good. Right.
Yeah.
Cause our tithing helps kingdom work. So great. I'm helping the kingdom, but they'll use your money to help the kingdom. But if your heart isn't in the right, I guess, posture, Lord's not going to bless it.
Right.
You know? So now it's like I tithe differently because I know
You're tithing from a good heart.
Yeah, from a good heart.
Right? You're doing it for the right reason. So not just a check off, oh, this is a Christian thing to do, I'm going to do. Because he doesn't want you giving. He'd rather you not give.
Right.
Than to give with the wrong heart. Right?
Yeah.
You're not doing it for the right, you know. So yeah, that's good.
I actually was talking to Rick about this the other day because God calls us to give money to something and we don't want to, right? So we don't want to not be a cheerful giver like we just talked about. But then I was telling Rick, but if this is God's will for my life that I do this, that makes me cheerful, right? Like I want to follow. So sometimes it's hard to figure out the difference between being obedient with your tithe and being giving with a good heart.
Right.
But I know that if it's God's plan, it will, and I follow through, it will be fruitful.
So being obedient. So you are making,
Right.
So it's always two sides, you know?
Okay. So question three, why do you think it's so hard for people, especially church folks, to repent of dead works?
I think it's because it exposes pride. Dead works is often tied to our identity and how we want to be seen by others or how we've been or how we've always measured our own worth, right? So admitting we've been operating in our flesh, even if it was religious flesh, means we've got to humble ourselves. And let's be real, pride hates repentance. Plus in church culture, we often celebrate activity over authenticity.
People, you know, there's a song that talks about, you know, get rid of the religion out of me, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what comes to mind when we think of like religious flesh is like, again, checking off boxes, ever doing this for all the right reasons.
Right.
And basically humbling ourselves. Pride hates repentance. It's end of story.
Yes.
Pride, you're not going to repent, right?
Right.
Pride hates repentance. So I think of that. So I'm like, if I don't feel like I've repented on something, I'm like, then I have to, what's the motive behind? Why am I not wanting to repent? What am I, you know what I'm saying? Is there pride involved? And generally there is.
There is.
Yes, there is.
I think this, the checklist mindset. Okay. We just want to check it off the list. But like you guys said, we're never going to be as fruitful with the right heart. And Matthew 3 verse 8 says, therefore produce fruit that is consistent with repentance.
Yeah.
So we are not going to, we have to be repentant to produce good fruit in the first place. It's really something to think about. And when I teach my Bible study to, they're like 13, 14 year old girls. And it's hard because I'm trying to teach them not to do certain things that I know I struggle with. And they're also my daughter's best friends. So they see me on a regular basis and I have to be humble and say, you know, I struggle with this and it's going to be a fight, but we have to remain repentant and keep turning to God and keep asking.
If we could do it in our own strength, we wouldn't need a savior.
Right.
That's true.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
So
and there's that humility again.
Yeah. I think for myself, the reason that churchgoers maybe struggle is because maybe they don't know what dead works are exactly.
Right.
So before we got into this series, you hear pastors talk about, oh, dead works, but they don't really expound on what exactly does that mean. So like I'm thinking dead works is, you know, the Lord put something on your heart and you're like, I don't have time for that. So you just don't follow through with that. So I'll use my mom as an example. You know, she's had it on her heart to have a few different types of businesses, but something always played out and they never, you know, came to fruition. And then, but Lord,
he'll find someone
to put them. So that those two businesses are standing today with someone else. So like, I kind of thought that was dead works, I guess. It's the Lord's putting something on your heart. You're like, you don't follow through with that. So that's like a dead work. That's a dead thing that, you know, the Lord, that you didn't follow through with, I guess.
Yeah. Which is important too.
Because again, we talked about this obedience, right?
Right.
And it's funny. I think just using that, when you use that example, I laugh because the Lord he's funny that way, right? He wants you to know that like you didn't listen, but somebody else did.
Right.
Because those two businesses not only are here today in Chesterton, but they are in the exact buildings
that
he had me looking at. And that is no joke. And that's a fact.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, Lord. So now I really try to be obedient. I'm like, I'm not perfect, but I'm like, is this the Lord speaking to me? Like, do I need to be like, Lord, speak clearer? Because I don't want that to happen again because I'm like, wow, seriously.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But the other thing is too, I thought about this. Church culture also plays a role, don't you think? Because we often as in church culture celebrate activity over authenticity.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes, definitely.
Think about that. How many times? And again, you should do activities, church activities. I'm not saying that you should not, right? But again, motive. What's the motive behind the activity? You know what I'm saying? So I think looking at activity over authenticity is also is a problem. Yeah. That's why we don't. All right. So question four, what does true repentance look like in your personal walk right now? So this one, we're going to focus on ourselves a little bit, be a little bit more vulnerable. So for me right now, true repentance looks like slowing down.
Yeah.
Letting go of the pressures to perform or to prove something. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to prune areas that I've been striving on my own strength. And I know I've done it. Like I've caught myself. And choosing worship over worry, intimacy over productivity. And repentance isn't just about weeping. It's something, it's sometimes just like resting and trusting that and getting deeper with God in the presence of the Lord. So that's where I'm at today.
Myself. I can see that for you because you are just a powerhouse going, doing constantly, like super productive, which I love because, you know, we're in the same ministry.
Be productive, girl.
but it's important that you
or wants to be productive, right?
Yeah.
I don't think, but I think it's like, okay, slow down because I want to be productive in my works, right?
Right.
And do what and bring people to me. But I also want to spend time with you.
Yeah,
exactly.
And there's where I've like slow down and just spend time with me.
Yeah. So many times in my life, I feel like I've tried to kind of push God's timeline. A little bit.
Oh, I know I have. I'm sorry, Lord.
like I want this faster. I want it now. And so then I'm like
about that.
Doing all of these things. And God's like, that's not what I called you to.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, well, did we talk about that last night, right? About like, that's the world we live in today.
Right.
Yeah. Everything's fast. I mean, your mom brought it up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you want it like right now. That's the, like, we get impatient because right now I can get on Google and find out anything I want to know. Now, sometimes it won't be true, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, we want everything
now,
in our time right now. And it's just a culture that that's been created for us. And here we are, you know?
Mm-hmm. And that's funny you say that because mine is impatience.
So that's your question. Okay.
It trips me up and I want to hate the sin itself, but the anger that I feel, it gives me this false sense of like control and maybe justice even. Like if I'm being angry towards someone and being impatient towards them, it like teaches them this lesson, you know, like maybe they should hurry up. But
so there, take that.
Yeah. Like how awful and prideful and ugly is that really when I sit down and think about it? Like,
this
needs to be done on my timeline.
I got you.
I feel that.
I think we can all relate with that.
But I need God most, I think, to like stop me when I want to respond. I need him to stop me and be like, think about what you're going to say and what you're going to do before you do it, because I will just respond.
So many times in the morning I ask the Holy Spirit, okay, as I'm getting up, like for my feet hit the ground, like, okay, Holy Spirit, just, you know, lead my words today, lead me with impatience. And then inevitably, something will come. I'm like, okay, now I'm, let me repeat myself. I need you to help lead me.
Yes.
He's like, I'm just testing you, Evelyn. And one of these times you're going to listen.
Yeah. I think for me, so I can kind of piggyback with what Amy says, because I feel all of that, you know, I've got a toddler, so I deal with just trying to rein in my, and I'm not like impatient with her, but sometimes I feel it like coming on. I'm like, okay, like, if I want her to be a patient person, I've got to be able to show that, right? So that's a struggle.
Monkey see, monkey do.
That's it. And so
monkey.
I'm trying to be a better example for her, while at the same time trying to be a better person for myself. So like my husband likes to tell me I have self-awareness issues because I do. So let's just be real about that, right? You know, because I will cop an attitude. He'll be like, babe. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, you have an attitude. I'm like, what attitude? And I just kind of like build. And I'm like,
he's like, dude, he should say that one.
I'm like, you want to, I'll show you an attitude. Like, let me just bring that to the forefront, right? And so like, that's what I'm struggling with right now, is just being a little bit more self-aware when I'm maybe not being gentle or kind, but also dealing with like apologizing for it. Cause then that's prideful, right? So not only do I not acknowledge that's going on, but I don't like take accountability,
mm-hmm.
you know, for it. Yeah. So like, that's like a lot of issues right there too. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
Because he's like, why don't, she's like, why can't you just apologize for him? I'm like, I don't know. But I feel like I do apologize, but it's not like, to him, it's not a sincere apology because there's no change of action. Cause like, it just kind of continues. Right. And I pray, Lord, I'm like, please take this away from me. Like, I don't want to be this person. And then inevitably, like every day I mess up, or I'm like, it just comes back kind of like out of nowhere. But I feel like
your prayer is just that, right? So once you get, you can't, what is it? It can't be tested.
That's true.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Faith not tested. It might not be trusted.
Right. Exactly. So if you're asking for him to take this away
from me, right?
He's going to give you another chance to prove that. Yeah,
I fail every day.
And we do fail every day in certain things. But the bottom line is, also, if you are apologizing, just because you don't apologize in a way someone thinks you should apologize, I'm not sure that that's good either. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, I think that if you truly apologizing from the heart and you really did not mean to be that way, it's going to take time for that behavior to change. It's not going to change overnight.
Yeah.
I mean, the Lord could change it overnight.
Yeah.
But he wants to see that you're also dying to that.
Right.
Right. So our last roundtable question is, can you share a time you repented, not just from sin, but from self-effort, pride, or performance, and what happened after? And we kind of just went over that a little bit with that, right?
So for me, there was a season in previous ministries where I've served a lot and not just in one area, like in everything. I'd show up early, stay late, fill in wherever I was needed, wherever there was a gap. And after a while, I started to feel like if I didn't do it, it wasn't going to get done, or at least not done right, you know? So at first, it felt like faithfulness, like I'm here, I'm doing this, serving the Lord. No problem. But somewhere along the way, it turned into just an unspoken pressure to hold it together. And deep down, I started to believe the lie that they, that I was needed, like it was like they needed me. And so, that's a form of pride. And that's when I felt like the Lord started to deal with me and showing me how much pride had creeped in and how I was carrying responsibility that he never asked me to carry, and thinking that I had to be the glue, right? That kind of helped hold it together. So of course I had to repent, and not just not just for the overworking, but for the mindset behind it. And I felt like I had made myself a solution instead of trusting that he was the one building his church, So I had to, after that, I let it go. I found rest in that. The real soul, deep rest. And I learned that the beauty of sharing burdens, which is, like in our ministry, we share the burden of what needs to be done. We do, outreach bags and so forth, and we work together. Just letting others step up and trusting that the Lord's going to fill that gap. And and not finding my value in how much I do, but in who I belong to.
So for me, I think 8 years ago, I was a really bad alcoholic, and I would be prideful and try and tell myself that it really wasn't, as bad as it was. And I remember going to this church service, and there was a rock in every single seat. And they used, the parable about casting the first stone. That's not a parable. It's an actual story in the Bible.
Yeah.
About casting the first stone.
Right.
And so you were supposed to take your stone and leave it at the altar. And I remembered being really touched by that sermon and feeling deeply sorry for the way that I had been living my life by being an alcoholic and what it was, probably doing to my life. And I remember just feeling so deeply sorry. And I told God, I am so sorry. And I left that stone at the altar. And not only was it fruitful, but he literally delivered me from it. Right. I left it there. It's been 8 years. I don't even think about and I had true repentance in my heart, but and so I didn't even think about drinking again. And I think there's other times where, I repent, but maybe I'm not completely
surrendered to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it's not fruitful, but sorry God that it took that to
Right. But that's good. That's good.
To get me there. What about you, Crystal? So I think, so there was a time before Andrew and I got married. So we were living in sin. You know, we were moved in together. We, you know.
We're living in sin.
Yeah, we're living in sin. my Aunt Angie one day, so I was at my grandma's house before she passed away. She's talking and she's like, so are you and Andrew sexually active? And I'm like, yep. Yeah, we are. You know, she's like, you're living in sin. And at that very moment, like, it just kind of clicked in my mind. And I'm like, I'm like, yeah, we are. Like, of course, you know, right?
Right.
But I was never convicted of it.
Yeah.
Like, my auntie, she convicted my, well, yeah,
the Holy Spirit
convicted my heart. And so I came back, talked to Andrew about it, because we're both started going to church together. We're going to church in Michigan City. And so we talked about it. And then we stopped. Now, we still live together, obviously, because he moved here from Ohio. So
yeah,
we still live together, but we were not active. We, you know, and then we got married, COVID, so it pushed our wedding back. So, like, a year that we're living together without
any kind of
faith. And so my aunt, she, you know, we came back from honeymoon, and I was asked, I'm like, is it different? And it is different, like, when you... you know, come together as a couple under the Lord,
yeah,
you know, covenant, and like, and then there's like that more intimate, you know, so
yeah.
Okay, so this week's challenge is going to take some prayer and some honesty. So I would like to challenge you guys to ask God to reveal the dead works in your life. So I would say pray about it. It could be, are you striving to be accepted? Are you serving to be seen? Maybe just checking off those spiritual boxes, but not actually sitting at the Lord's feet in his presence.
So after you pray on it, and if God shows you something, don't run from it.
Yes.
Yes. Guilty of doing.
Me too.
Because Acts 3:19 tells us that repentance is the gateway to refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
Repent and turn to God so that times of refreshing may come.
Yes. And we can't be refreshed if we're like faking for it, right? If we're just not being honest with ourselves and honest with God. Because of course, he knows all, right? He's not surprised.
Yeah.
He's just waiting for us to turn to him. So let's reread this week. Let's reread Act 3, Romans 2, and write a prayer of repentance and make it real and honest, and then give it to the Lord, right? That's all we can do is like turn to him in our prayer time and just like, Lord, take this from us and whatever that is.
That's true.
So this is ending our episode. So if this episode blessed you, please share it. You'll never know who's been carrying burdens that God never asked them to carry.
Yep. And if you're in the area, we'd love for you to show up Tuesday night for a Bible study. There's nothing like hearing the word and then walking it out with a group of people.
Yes.
And if you can't make it, meet us here next Thursday. We've got you.
Yes.
And next week, we're getting into faith towards God. So we're going to go from works to trust and from striving to believing.
God isn't asking us to perform. He's asking us to believe in him.
Hey, we can say this in our prayer time. I repent of dead works and self-righteousness. I give Jesus full ownership of my life. I turn from darkness to light, from my way to his way. My heart is soft, my spirit is willing, and my life belongs to God. Reflection questions for the week. Is there anything you're holding on to that Jesus is asking you to surrender? What dead works have you relied on for your worth, identity, or righteousness? So reflect and pray on those questions and take them to the Lord. And if you would like to share them, find us on our Facebook page. We do have a Bible study group where we do discussion. Feel free to drop it there or come over there and read what others are saying. And until next week, stay grounded, stay hungry, and stay unfiltered in your walk with Jesus. This is Unfiltered Faith Beyond the Church Walls. We'll see you next Thursday.